And two. And welcome to the Tales from the Wandbox podcast. This is episode 50, Spotlight on Independent Comics. This is Chris Mosby.
And Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
And let's see, this week we're going to be focusing on independent comics, not of the big two, which some would say maybe the, you know, Image is one of the big three, but they seem to have a lot of creator-owned stuff, so I consider them part of that. So,
absolutely.
I would think so, anyway.
Yeah.
So basically the definition is, if it ain't published by Marvel or DC, it's fair game.
That's pretty much it, yeah. So, let's see. Who wants to start?
Well, I just want to say, you know, all those times, Murray, that you mentioned about reading Archie and such.
Yes.
I can't believe I didn't mention the fact that every time we see an Archie Digest or something like that, I pick it up for my kids. So we have a collection of about 15 or 20 of those various digests in various states of disrepair and reading, but that means they're getting used.
So, totally. Yeah. Great beach reading.
I realized that, yeah, when we were on our trip last week, that there was like three of them in the car, and even my five-year-old who can't read was was going through them. So they're awesome. I mean, again, I remember digests as a kid. I mean, a couple.
Yeah, I think I read some too.
Those Adventure Digests. I mean, not to stray into DC territory too much, but those Adventure Digests, along with the Archie Digests, were a staple of my early comic book reading career.
Totally, me too. I remember them fondly. I've still got a couple hanging around, and they are beat up and super old, but they were good.
And the paper quality is you know, the old newspaper quality. But it doesn't matter. I mean, they're cheap. Yeah. I think they're $2, and you get it's something like 80 pages of story in there. You know, all the little one-page gags that they do, or the one-panel gags that they do are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in some Josie and the Pussycats and some Sabrina the Teenage Witch as well. It's all in there. And they're not all just Archie. You know, there's the Benny and Veronica, the Jughead. Not, you know, somehow they have enough to – oh, my God, they got thousands of stories out there. So, anyhow,
that's my first
addition to the indie world. So if you have kids, they still publish these things, and they're still, you know, they're popping up. I said, God, where do we get them? We get them at the local grocery store usually.
I think they did a thing on it was either CBR or Newsarama talking about Archie. Yeah, here it is, the hottest publisher in comics. There was a panel about them, talking about them.
What makes them the hottest?
I don't know what they call it. Maybe that was just the name of the panel, but you know, it's just they got. I guess they got a Glee crossover coming up.
Oh, good Lord!
Yes. So you know that's big. That's big stuff here. So yeah, I'll send you the link. But anyway,
they did that. They were the first targets for the Thousand Mom March.
Yes, exactly.
With Kevin, what's his name, and his beau getting married.
What was his name? Kevin something.
Keller. Kevin Keller.
Oh yes, I knew it. I knew it rhymed somehow.
Does that sound a lot like Helen Keller to you, or is it just me?
I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, sure.
But I think one of the ones I'm really looking forward to see more about is Chris Roberson's Monkey Brain Comics. That's they've been doing – I don't know how long they've been together. Yeah, they've been – apparently it's been owned and operated by him and Allison Baker since 2001. But he's gotten a lot of press since he, you know, declared his independence from D.C., and you know, shame them by the way they handle things. Apparently,
worked out pretty well for Robert Kirkman. So,
Yeah, exactly. In fact, yeah, they've got everything. They've got all their stuff on Comixology right now. I've read, I think, they just added a new one called Wander, Olive Hopkins in the Ninth Kingdom. I haven't read it yet, but I've read everything else.
It's been added?
Yeah, I don't remember when. Let me look. Let me see the date. Let me click on it here. Blah, 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 blah. It was the 17th digital release date, so it was like a couple weeks after the rest of them.
Yeah, well, they've got other ones that they're planning to come out with too, so.
Yeah, it's just let them out a little bit of time. Now, the one that Roberson wrote, wasn't that Edison Rex?
Yep.
Yeah, I liked that one. That was a nice little twist. I liked the rest of them too. You got the Aesop's Ark, Immune to Cole, and the Unknown World. Mm-hmm. Bandette, the October Girl. That one was a little, I don't know. That was, it was good. The Aesop's Ark is, I guess, the one I had the most trouble with. I guess just the way it was presented. Not that it was bad by any means. It was just, I don't know. A little too artsy for me. I don't know.
I was thinking more about what you guys said last week, or maybe it was Murray said last week, in terms of Aesop's Ark. I'd like to share that with my kids, but the format, I'd like to see it in print. It would be, I'd like to be able to hand that to my daughter, because, you know, we're trying to discourage her being on the computer 8 hours a day like mom and dad. So,
let's see.
Been there, yes. the pages are beautiful, but... Yeah, the digital format doesn't really, I don't know, I don't think it does it any favors.
No, no, not that particular.
Doing the, what do you call it, Zoom panel by panel look. Like you miss out, you miss out on all the side details that are there.
Yeah.
I think there's some comics that benefit from that panel-to-panel thing that Comixology does, but this is not one of them. And it's not, again, as you said, Chris, not to take anything away from it. It's actually really good looking, and I, to be honest with you, it reads really well to me. But it would be better served if I could control the horizontal and the vertical on it, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't use that panel by panel that much with the iPad, but...
really? That's the only way I read them.
Well, it depends on the comic, I guess.
I'm old.
I just like looking at the whole entire page, I guess.
Well, I kind of like that too, but I can't read it. The words are too small for my poor little old eyes. So usually it'll open up on the main page for me. And I kind of scan the whole page and see what I'm getting, and then I go panel by panel.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I didn't even try reading that with the. Now, if I was reading it on the Kindle, I would do it. I was doing it that way on the Kindle, but it just doesn't seem to. I don't seem to need it as much with this on here.
Your big 10-inch screen. Ooh.
Cool, yeah, and I'm. I see I have glasses, but you know, my problem is far away things. So things near, I don't have that much trouble. So, I mean, it's not a,
yeah, not I don't need it.
Yeah. But anyway, so
near far.
That's right.
Yep. So anyway,
all of them I liked Bandette and October Girl probably the most.
Yeah, Bandette was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. Something about October Girl, it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't capture me as much as the others.
I loved the artwork. It was like, I loved that it was all like grayscale or blue scale, I guess. And it's got a real, it looks almost like Ted Nafe, the guy that does Courtney Crumrin. It's got like a... Mm. It's similar in style. I like it. And I like that it's like a full chapter.
Oh, yeah.
With a cliffhanger there. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That one I like.
This whole line appears very. It's going to appeal to the female audience.
There are a lot of seems like female protagonists.
And not even so much that, it's just it has that same kind of feel as like a Sandman or Y, you know, again, which had male protagonists, but mm-hmm. Intelligent, for some reason there was a vibe to it that felt, God, this is going to sound really sexist, but appeal to the chicks.
Oh, no, that's not sexist at all.
No, not, I tried to tone it down even. It has an appeal to it that I think will appeal to women, to the female audience strongly, if they can get a schedule. So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never mind. I was going to go somewhere. Never mind. Sorry. But, oh, God, just shut up. All right.
Okay. I wasn't offended, but I'm not a female, so.
No, I was going to go somewhere with that, but I decided not to.
Okay, well, all right.
I reread all of them, and yeah, on the second reread, I liked Edison Rex more than I did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dislike it, or not that I disliked it. I liked it. I liked it well enough, but mm-hmm. I liked it more on the second reread. I'm not sold on the art. They're all kind of. The figures are all kind of, that's the wrong word, they're wide, they're chubby but muscular,
Well, I think it's that, I mean, it might be what he's looking for with the whole superhero thing, I don't know.
I don't know, even the background characters look.
Extra beefy?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I can't. Like, when I look, if you think back to the Legion when Lee Motor was drawing the Legion, you know, like, super skinny characters that were, like, sleek and muscular.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are not sleek.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I guess I like my thin people.
Oh, so you're against fat people. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what he's saying. That's what Man. I heard.
I would never say that, but
not in public though.
I like the I like the skinny.
Oh, okay.
But no, I like. I want to see where this story's going. I think the first issue. I don't know how representative the first issue of Edison Rex is going to be of the series. Like it looks, like that first issue was very much set up, getting us to the point where now Edison Rex is. The hero of the book, whereas before he was just the main character or something. So I'm curious to see where it goes. So
mm-hmm.
that one I will follow again. And Amelia Cole, I was not taken with that first issue, but on my second reread.
Oh, you mean the art part?
Yeah, I didn't love the art, and the second reread didn't.
Oh, Amanda Cole. Okay, yeah.
Didn't do anything for me either. But the story, I'm more into the story the second read. Like, the art I don't think is ever going to be my,
mm-hmm.
to my flavor. But if this is, I can look past art that I don't like if it's going to be tightly tied to a series, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, like, Doom Patrol when Grant Morrison was writing it. I don't know that I would ever follow Richard Case from book to book to book because he's just not my style of artist. But he put his stamp, he put his stamp on Doom Patrol, and so that's what I think of, you know. So
mm-hmm.
if this artist, who is it, Nick Bradshaw, I think, Nick Brokenshire. So if he becomes like if his style is Stan and Amelia Cole, then you know I'll live with it if I'm loving the story. And again, the second read through, I enjoyed it more than I did the first, so I'll probably check out second issue too.
Hmm. Are the following issues going to be cheap like these first issues? Do we know?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's their plan.
Oh, okay. Well,
That's pretty cool. They get more readers that way, to try them out, at least.
Absolutely, you do. And when you think, like, they're 13, yeah, I could do 13 pages, 14, for, like, work. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, it is, for sure. Let's see.
There it is, under Olive Hopkins and the Ninth something or other. And the Ninth Kingdom. Ooh, it's $1.99. That means it's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's a big one.
Let's see here.
What about the Valiant relaunch? Who's the only book I'm reading on that, to be honest with you, is Harbinger. But
I had a light week and ended up picking up. I'd read the Exo Manowar, excuse me, and it was okay. This is a different take on things. I never read any of the original stuff, so I didn't have anything to base it on if it was, you know, it was fresh. All of it was fresh. I knew of them, but I never did read any of them. But so far I've read all of them, and they seem pretty good. So, and looks like the digital versions they're doing, at least of Exo Manowar. I saw it had, like, exclusive stuff in it.
See, that's cool. That's what they should do with those. That's incredibly smart. They take this format. If you're going to buy in a different format, make it a slightly different book and, mm-hmm. you know, encourage people to, you know, buy both formats. I mean, that's what DC should be doing with those combo packs. That's what Marvel should do when they do the their version of the combo pack is make, you know, put something else in there that makes it worth a while to spend the extra money to get a second copy.
Yeah, yeah.
Marvel is including that beautiful AR.
Yeah, that just...
Less said, the better.
Yeah, wow. I took that off my phone. It's not even worth it.
Oh, it drives me bananas. I try every time thinking, this is going to be the time that it works perfectly, and...
Yeah, okay. Digital exclusive edition, at least of Exo Manowar. I don't know if they're doing it for the other ones.
And Marie, as soon as you quit trying the AR, then they're going to have perfected the technology. And
I know. Then it'll be, missed it. Then it will be awesome. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But
you'll miss it. You'll go, you know what? I gave up on that crap 6 months ago.
I tried it maybe once, yeah. I installed it off my phone even. Yeah, it looks like I'm looking at all of them. All of them are called digital exclusive editions, so I might get them on there instead.
And I love the stuff. Yeah, the stuff in Harbinger when they had all the black and white sketches in the back—that was great.
Oh, cool!
That guy's stuff looks amazing in black and white.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Who are the creative teams on those?
Well, let's see. I have them up here on Comixology.
Well, I know Josh Dysart is the writer on Harbinger. He did the Unknown Soldier series a while ago for DC, and he also did Snake Plissken for CrossGen, and he did Violent Messiahs at Image.
Exo Manowar is Robert Venditti, best-selling author of The Surrogates and Homeland Directive. Which I know The Surrogates, but not the other one. Now, Bloodshot is being done by Dwayne Schwarzerinsky from Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say I liked it a lot better than Birds of Prey. I dropped that book recently myself. And let's see. Well, I didn't talk about the art, but oh well.
Well,
I'm more of a writer fan than the other, but you were talking about the art on Harbinger. It's Kerry Evans, Khari, and Joshua Dysart, which I haven't heard of him, but that doesn't mean anything. That one's okay. Yep, that one didn't jump out. Out of the three of them, I think I like Bloodshot the most.
Why?
I don't know. It just seemed little deeper. Because, I mean, there was a lot of plot twists and stuff, and the other ones are kind of straightforward. I don't know. That's just my point of view on it.
What's the premise?
Of Bloodshot?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, your typical soldier being experimented. As a matter of fact, it's a lot like my Grey Ghost concept, but that I'm sure that's been around for a long time. I just, you know. It starts out, he's like a military guy that goes, you know, one of those secret ops guys trying to get his brother behind enemy lines, and then there's plot twists here and there, and but he's got a bunch of nanites in his body. And it, you know, gives him augmented strength and everything, and, you know, healing ability, and he can, like, masquerade as other people and things like that.
Are nanites the new mutant, by the way? Just out of...
Yeah, I have a feeling they are. I mean, they're becoming more and more realistic all the time, so...
And it seems like I keep hearing about nanites. Nanites seem to be... That term pops up in comics a lot lately, it feels like.
I used it in mine, so... Yeah, even the original one used the same concept. I'm looking at the... Okay. Yeah, they've got those... They've got the first... 8 issues of the original series on there, and it says, you know, of course they explain it more because it was a new concept back then, but yeah, Microsoft computers called nanites. I mean, like, for example, guy who wrote Snow Crash, Neal Stephenson, one of his books was called Diamond Age, and that's what the whole book was about, nanites. And so yeah, it seems like it's something that that, you know, authors are grabbing on to. So, but yeah.
You keep mentioning that Snow Crash book. I got to finally pull my head out of my butt and read this thing.
Oh, dude, Snow Crash. Now, I'll admit that it's a lot of the stuff in it is going to seem like out of date, but back when it was written, that just shows you how, you know, big it is. And that book, the term avatar, as far as a computer representation of yourself, that's the first time that word was ever – that was when it was phrased that way, was in that book. So, yeah, it's, you know, and I know Paul French is a big fan of it too, but it's my favorite book of all, I think. I've read it probably 10, 15 times. I just got through rereading it again. I think I got like 2 paperback copies of it, and I even bought it on Kindle just so I could have it on there. So, yeah. It's a great book. Well, it's one of the cyberpunk books. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Make room for it in my collection is what you're saying.
Yes, yes, it's definitely good. If you like science fiction at all, it's really good.
Given that my collection can now be 20 gigs.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's see. Let's talk about some of Boom's stuff, shall we?
Sure.
We've mentioned in the... Irredeemable and Incorruptible, and they just recently ended. But right now, they've got a great bunch of anyway, they've got a bunch of real good science fiction series come out, which I guess one of them could be kind of called superhero. But anyway, one of them is called Extermination.
Yay!
Yes, and Caleb, I know he's read it recently, and I just read number 2. Of course, you know, the $3.99 price I'm not too fond of, but hey, you know, it's worth the $3.99 compared to some of the stuff I've got at Marvel. So that's kind of how we do it. But basically, the premise is aliens have invaded the Earth, and the only people that are left... the only people left on Earth, well, at least that you know of at first, is the world's greatest superhero and world's deadliest supervillain. And they have to team up.
And it's basically Batman teaming up with Doctor Doom.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That was a very good way to put it. So that they are the closest to that. So
the personalities are a little different, but their quote unquote power set and their mm-hmm. motivations are essentially the same as those two characters.
The Batman like character Knox, he's kind of like Boy Scoutish, like Superman would be like in the Silver Age, you know.
I would even, like I said on Facebook, I'd even put it more like Captain Marvel, where it's like, don't swear, don't.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. So, which, you know, he's having to adapt to this extreme environment now, so. But, yeah, I've read the first two, great stuff. Now, the one I really like a lot also is called Higher Earth. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it.
What is it?
It is, well, one of the – it's funny how they – you know, the Crisis on Infinite Earths was all about getting rid of alternate universes. Well, this book is pretty much all it. Its catchphrase is, you are illegal on this Earth. you know, it's basically you still don't know exactly what's going on. But the soldier, he's jumping through universes to find this girl, and, you know, and she's of some importance. And apparently, you know, he's jumping. He grabs her from where he found her, and moves it to the next. And the first thing, you know, they get, you know, you're illegal on this Earth. And I guess, like, all the higher Earths are the ones where all the rich people and stuff are, and then ones other alternate universes are moved down the chain where the point where they're garbage dumps. It's interesting. It's an interesting deal. The art is done by the guy which that series is about wrapped up. Elric the Balance Lost with Chris Roberson, the same artist.
You love that Elric, don't you?
It's a good. I haven't read the last one. I've got it in my stack, but yeah, the artist is Francisco Biagini, and yeah, that guy's good. Now, the writer is he wrote Fanboys vs. Zombies and that book from Image, Our Love Is Real, which we talked about that previously, involving animals and, you know, anyway.
Oh God, yeah, now I remember. Okay.
Yeah, now first she was 99 cents, so you can check it out and see what you think. And the second one's only right now, yeah, it's $1.99. So I mean, you can check them out pretty cheaply, as opposed to some of the other books, because you know they're up in $3.99. And you got the Hypernaturals by Andy and Lanning, and I'm seeing a lot of. Their cosmic / Legion work, Marvel cosmic / Legion work in there.
The first issue was okay to me. It didn't feel, you know, if I was, I read a little bit about it online before I picked it up. And if I hadn't done that, I don't think I would have enjoyed it very much, to be honest with you.
They put a Zero issue out for Free Comic Book Day, and I don't know why they don't have it on here. It added a little bit more a prequel to this that explained some of the dynamics between some of the characters, and it kind of added to the first issue, I thought. So it hopefully I don't know why they don't have it on here.
Man, they should have. Yeah, that almost seems like required reading as far as
it made it made the first issue make more sense.
See, that's a shame. That is a shame. It should have been. Heck, if you buy the digital copy, they should have thrown it in the back, or bought the physical copy, should have thrown it in as a addition, because there were holes that made it like, do I really want to stick around and find out? I'm not certain I do, but
yeah,
I mean, check out number two. We'll see.
As big as fan of them as some other people, which I, you know, I've got the hardcover. I haven't read it yet, but their work on, that Legion lost and all that with the Blight and all that, which seems like they showed up in New 52 recently again.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
But anyway, enough about that. But yeah, I mean, that's not too bad. And look at some of the stuff they got. They got the Cartoon Network comic Adventure Time, which I think they're continuing with that. And I think, wasn't it you, Murray, that mentioned that Valen series?
Which series?
Valen the Outcast?
No, not me.
That's an interesting twist. I read the first issue of it. It's basically, which the first issue is 99 cents. It's basically Undead Conan. It's interesting concept. I didn't read the rest of them. The rest of them are $1.99 or 7 issues out. But so if you know you can, that sounds interesting to you, then see what that's like. But yeah, they have a good bunch of books. Another one that was really good, the series by Mark Waid, The Unknown. There was 2 series of that made. Unfortunately, the artist on those, he passed away, and I have a feeling that he must have been co-owner of it because they haven't done any more stories since then. But it was pretty good. Like this woman, she's the greatest detective, Catherine Allingham. Yeah, world's most famous private investigator, and she takes on an apprentice, as you will, because she, realizes she finds out she's got 6 months to live. But it's very interesting series. There's 2 of them, like I said, and it's really, really good stuff. Mark Waid's talent for 3-dimensional characters is definitely in there. So,
and the nice thing about Boom, I mean, and I think I need to explore them a little bit more myself, is they definitely are in all ages. Company, not all their publications, but they do all that. You know, they have like the Roger Langridge stuff in there, which is always good for the kids.
Yes.
And then they have the stuff that you were just mentioning, which is definitely most of it's not for the kids, except for Adventure Time, perhaps. But
and they have a separate imprint for kids too, I think.
I didn't realize that they do a Garfield comic. Look at that.
They do. And, and then the real kid-friendly stuff like, Call of Cthulhu.
There you go. Ooh, yeah.
They do a Peanuts as well. That just started. They had a Free Comics Day issue of that. I haven't read anything past that. But these are all new strips by a new writer, which is kind of some kind of controversy because I know Charles Schulz had said he did not want anybody to continue that, but obviously somebody has given the okay or they wouldn't be doing it.
Do they have the Disney licensing or is that over at Marvel? I'm a little confused.
They do anymore. No, they had for probably another year after they bought Marvel and then they switched, but yeah, they were doing DuckTales and Darkwing Duck and the
Hello.
I'm still.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yep.
You got me?
Yep.
All right. You there, Caleb?
I am.
Did I cut out?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they had Darkwing Duck and some of those others.
They had all that Muppet stuff.
Yeah, I think that's all Marvel / the other. So.
Marvel is, they're definitely putting out some Muppet stuff later on. I know there's still Duck stuff out there on the hands. I just haven't paid attention to who's publishing.
Whoa, you're rough there, man.
Yeah, you're out too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Skype has been our friend here today.
You know what? I just remembered they have a whole separate app for kids comics. Comicology does. It's called Comics for Kids.
Oh.
And that's where all of that stuff is at. Yeah, I just pulled it up. Garfield, Atomic Robo, Archie stuff on there. Betty and Veronica. My dog is messing with the cable. Hold on, try to pull my head down to the ground there for a second.
Yeah.
Sadie. All right. You can lay there, but don't yank on me, okay? All right. There you go. Okay. Oh. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, they have a separate app for that, so.
Well, Boom is definitely much more kid-friendly than, say, I don't know, Dynamite?
There's barely anything on there that's kid-friendly.
I don't think there is. I think maybe teen-friendly, but not little kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As the home for Kevin Smith's Bionic Man and Bionic Woman, yep. Which are very mature. And very good, by the way. Thank you very much, you son of a bitch, for getting me on another comic book. So
I haven't bought a copy of that in a while.
Number 10 just came out, and it's really good.
They're getting a lot of those, old TV shows and things like Buck Rogers and whatever. A lot of public domain comics. Characters had gone into public domain. They did a whole superheroes thing a while back. Different success. They're still doing a lot of Green Hornet and Kato. What else? They picked up some stuff from Devil's Due that went away by the wayside. They have the rights to Vampirella now.
And they're going to be doing that cool crossover with all the noir characters.
They pretty much have the rights to all of them anyway. Zorro and Shadow and all that. So
I'm actually interested in that. I mean, I don't follow any of those characters. I'm not even a fan, but just the idea that kind of all of them coexisting is neat.
Yeah, it's a nice idea.
Plus, Alex Ross is going to be doing interiors.
Yes, and Chris Roberson is going to be writing it. So there's two reasons right there to check it out.
Oh, my God. What is it? That's Masks and something? Or what the hell is that called? Masks and Capes? Or
I don't remember.
I got to know now. Damn it.
And Alex Ross is doing interiors. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. He hasn't done that in a long time. So I don't know how on time it's going to be. But
I think it listed the last time he did interiors Justice, yeah, from DC, that Super Friends comic book, or that not Super Friends, the Justice League Satellite comic book.
There it is.
Did he do the interiors on that?
He did the breakdowns, and then someone else did the finals on it. But he actually his pencils touched the inside of that, the whole 12 issues.
Called Masks.
Okay, Masks.
Go ahead.
I'll have to look for it. I think he did pencils for Justice Society. Was it Justice Society at that point or JSA?
I think he just did covers.
No. During the Kingdom arc, he did.
Oh, yeah, maybe one.
Annual or something. An annual or a special or a oversized issue or something.
That sounds interesting.
All the promo stuff is saying the last time he did interiors was Justice. So if he did that, it slipped between the cracks. But
I think so, because it was just pencils. Like he didn't it was regular paint. He did pencils, and it was cool. It was good to see. I love his pencils. I like his pencils a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. And that will have the Green Hornet, Kato, Zorro, the Spider, the newest the incarnation that they did, and Zorro, which should be interesting because it's going to be taking place in the 30s. So, you know, Zorro, they did kill Zorro off in the crossover kind of thing they did with the Lone Ranger and Zorro, which is actually a pretty good book. I liked it. I'm a big fan of the Lone Ranger stuff that they're doing, though I'm not sure if Andy Parks has got the tone of Lone Ranger down right. Some of his choices in the stories were kind of interesting. But
oh, you're right. He did do Justice Society number 22.
Okay.
Oh, he right. did. Huh. I'll be damned.
Yes, you will. No, I'm kidding.
But, yeah, let's see. So how many of these am I missing? Oh, I'm only missing two issues of Bionic Man. I'll have to pick those up. I'll wait.
It's worth it. And the Bionic Woman, it was really good, actually.
I read the first one. I haven't read any others.
I'm kind of interested to see how it actually fits into the continuity of the Bionic Man, because the Jamie Summers character is in Bionic Man, but she's still a not bionic.
And then, yeah, it's like the Bionic Woman one is like in farther into the storyline than we've gotten to in the Bionic Man.
Yeah, and her power set is pretty awesome.
Yeah. It looks like they've got the RoboCop license as well, and Red Sonja, a lot of Red Sonja stuff. And I remember when they brought over that Fulon Gaff character that appeared in several Marvel stories, and they're doing a revival of some of Kirby's old characters as well.
So they've got Bionic Man and RoboCop. How could they not do a crossover there?
They might. You know, they've already done a Terminator RoboCop one.
Well, that was a while ago, though. That was
I haven't read it, but
I don't think that was Boom, though. That was or Dynamite. That was
No, that's Dynamite. I'm looking at it right here.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought there was another one that maybe. Okay.
Well, there might have been, but I'm seeing it right here.
I got to mute for just a moment. Be right back.
All right. So, tell us, moving along. Hopefully he's done. Tell us about Saga.
Saga. I am enjoying it for the most part.
I read the first issue, and it's like I was saying, it was a little bit more adult than I was anticipating. Not that I did not enjoy it.
No, it's very much a adult series.
Are we still on Dynamite? I'm sorry.
Well, we can jump back. I was just having him talk about Saga.
But. Oh, okay. I was just real quickly going to say The Boys is coming to an end at Dynamite. Very, very 2 months here. So.
Yes.
Sorry.
The Boys. Ugh.
Oh, 2 months left?
That was a controversial title, in case anybody didn't know. It started out in Wildstorm, and it got too risque that when Paul Levitz was running things, he canceled it, pretty much, right?
Well, he said, you know, we'll give you back gave rights back to Garth Ennis and said, you know, you can go elsewhere with this, because he was doing all these analogies to DC superheroes, but they were doing unsuperhero like things,
to say the least, yes,
in unsuperhero like positions and with unsuperhero like little boys, and it was time to say thank you very much. And
that would have been better as a Vertigo title, but they just decided to dump it.
Well, but it's lasted. It's hitting issue 70.
Yeah.
In about 2 months here, and that'll be it.
Did he say why? Did he was stopping it, or just gone as far as he can go?
I think he's gone as far as he can go, and going out on a high note. I mean, they're not breaking sales records, but it never did, and you know, he figured he could tell more stories with the characters, but I think he's just like, you know what? I've done this for 5 years or 6 years. It's plus miniseries and such. Yeah. It's time to move on. And
I was going to mention they've done at least one miniseries, maybe two.
I think probably four or five, actually.
Oh, okay. I can only remember two off the top of my head, but yeah.
Yeah, there was Herogasm. There was Butcher Baker. There was the one with
Butcher Baker is one.
Well, oh,
no, I'm thinking of that Image comic. Okay, never mind.
Thinking of the Joe Casey book. This is different. Yeah, came out the same time though, and it's just a poor choice of titles by both creators.
Sometimes that happens.
And anyhow, there was other ones, but it's coming to a close. But definitely not a book to jump in at this point. If anybody's ever been interested in The Boys, go pick up the trades. Start from the beginning, because honest to God, there is so much in the last couple issues that refers back to the previous 60 plus issues plus miniseries that it's incomprehensible to anybody coming in new at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And he does not do previously pages in his. He jumps right in. It's fairly understandable to a new person, but there is so much subtle. There's so many moments that are like, oh my god, I remember that happening, 5 years ago. It's unfortunately it's ending without bringing new readers in, but that's okay. He doesn't need to at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure those books will sell for quite a while.
Yeah, they will be on bookshelves for as long as he wants them to be. He can probably have them out there, because of it, the popularity of it, and Hitman is finally getting collected over at DC. So
I never read that either.
Well, it's exactly my kind of book. It's a Deadpool Lobo kind of.
Oh, there you go. That's why I'm not reading it.
So. Sorry, back to your saga talk. Sorry.
No, that's fine, man. Well, I didn't know if you were done or not, so, and I didn't know how long you were going to be gone. So anyway, continue, Murray.
Well, let me see. It's I'm trying to figure out what it is. It's kind of like is it space opera? I guess.
It's kind of sci-fi fantasy, I think.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Like it's a love story.
yes, it is.
A girl with wings meets a boy with horns, and they fall in love. But we don't get to see the falling in love part. We just jump right in when they're already in love and having a baby and on the run from there.
And I really like how they set up who the narrator is.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't read it, but if you've read it.
It's not a spoiler. The narrator is their unborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
Or soon to be born baby.
Yeah, which obviously she's writing it, this tale from, years later kind of thing, but.
Yeah.
But yes.
That's kind of cool. Like, it's very, I guess it's like very Romeo Juliet, like two kids from the politics of it always confuse me, but there's it's as complicated, I guess, as you want to make it, but there's two.
I actually enjoy the supporting cast more than the two main characters. the Will, an awesome character so far, and his little trek to a planet that got a lot of controversy on the internets. What was the name of that? A Sextopolis or something like that?
I think it was Sextillion.
I haven't read that far.
Mm-hmm.
I just read the first one. But I think you mentioned it in there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of good characters. And you're right. The two main characters are they're fine. Like the main the guy love interest, what is his name? I don't know.
It's kinda like Romeo and Juliet a little bit.
Very much. Yeah. Tribes, two warring planets, and the people that have taken over those planets, I guess. I'm trying. I mean,
yeah.
You've got the television face people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her side are like the conquerors, and his side are almost like the rebels.
Yeah, and the description, they call it Star Wars style action collides with Game of Thrones-esque drama, which. That's not a bad description, I would say.
Yeah, he keeps it going. They're going to have as many characters as they have in Game of Thrones.
I watched the first season of that, and I'm still not sure if I liked it. It kept me watching, but it was just like, is there any character that's like good in here? Just about, but anyway, But yeah, anyway, I liked the first issue. I'm probably going to get some more.
It was a very good first issue because it. Having it double-sized was a great choice. It really let you see the world and see the characters and get everything established. It was a really, really good first issue for that.
Yeah.
It set the status quo very nicely. Absolutely.
Yep.
And he's got this nice huge Bible on this thing, and he's really sticking with it.
Really?
Yeah. And he's got, he already knows, when each character's, story is going to begin and end. And how they're all going to cross over at some point. Cause it feels like, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, there's all these characters floating out there that haven't even touched on each other, like Game of Thrones. You know, they
yeah, exactly. You've got the you've got the two main, the lovers and their kid, and eventually, Chris, you'll meet their nanny.
Yeah.
And she's pretty cool.
Yeah, she is. I'll have to read that. Yeah.
That's a visual for that. I mean, who's a
Fiona Staples?
Yeah.
Is the artist.
She's doing some stuff that she's gonna have to. She may regret having created some of these visuals, you know, come issue 30 or 40 where she has to keep drawing some of these things.
Have you read the latest issue?
Number 5, I have not read it yet. It's sitting in my in my tray
pile. Okay, that's all I'll say.
But that one bounty hunter, the one with the all the legs and the boobs, like, I can't remember.
Oh, that sounds interesting already.
Let me think. One is called The Will, right? And that's the guy with the cat. And the other one is
the cat. Oh, with Liar Cat. Liar Cat, yeah.
I think she's called The Stock.
Stock. Oh, no, not The Stock. Just Stock. Yeah.
The Stock.
Yeah. Yeah, but that again, I think Fiona Staples, while the visual is great now, she's going to regret it, or someone who takes over to do a fill-in issue is going to regret that design, having to draw it over and over again. But
sounds interesting.
Because her detail art on this stuff is amazing. The forest that they're going through, again, not to harp too much on it, but the Sextillion montage in number 4 was, I mean, just so detailed and so pretty to look at. It would be, I would love to see it in black and white.
And she's doing the full art, like she's doing pencils, inks, colors. I don't know whether she's doing it on computer or whatever, but she's like, she's the whole art package there.
Really? Wow.
Hmm.
That's impressive, because again, the detail and the subtleties. I mean, combined. I mean, you got subtle and detail all in the same panel, and it's really amazing. So,
yeah.
And then his scripts. I mean, I hope that, again, we said it before, hopefully, you know, when this thing comes to a close, he doesn't go out with a whimper like he did on Y and Ex Machina.
Yeah. Yes, I'm crossing my fingers that there's a happy ending in store.
Yeah, not even so much a happy ending, but just an ending that feels like an ending. So.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we're actually talking about this book ending when it's just started.
Yeah.
He's one of those that would do that more than, you know. Because, like, you know, JMS, for example, when he usually starts a story, he has a beginning, middle, and end already figured out. And if he's got this big Bible, like you're saying, he might have, you know, it might be 100 issues, but he might have an ending planned already, you know.
Yeah, and unlike JMS, he'll probably put out the issues. So
yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
It's
a good series. Like there's a lot of, well, not a lot. There are a good chunk of characters introduced, and you're going to get a chance to see all their stories, which is good. Like a lot of the new series that start seem to focus on one character, and you don't get a sense of their supporting cast, or you don't get a sense of the world. Whereas this book is very much like, you know, it's about the two lovers and their baby, but there's all kinds of other characters that are in this world that are going to be just as important. And I'm sure there are more characters coming up. Like I think issue 5 has got a character that's introduced that will probably play a role in future issues, I think.
Yeah.
It plays out like, you know, How I Met Your Mother, where, you know, there little subtle comments are made by future Ted, like, oh, and then Aunt Robin, and it's like, oh, you know, because the narrator, the little girl, or not the little girl, but the daughter, mentions, you know, how she actually says that the Will plays an important part in her life. She hates him. He's a horrible man, but plays a very important role throughout her life. So we know that this character, you know, is going to be around, you know, on and off for a while. It's funny though; she doesn't mention about anything about the future with her of her mom or dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. As they search for the rocket forest or whatever it's called. Rocket
forest. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a good series. I anticipate many an Inkpot and Eisner, if not wins, at least nominations for 2012.
Yeah, I could see it too.
Yeah, it's going to be a series to watch for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it is a good one. I have to admit.
You're not that far behind. That's the nice thing about this one, as opposed to what I, you know, The Boys, which I mentioned before.
Yeah,
it's right at the beginning. I mean, it's not that hard to catch up. Plus, with Comixology, you know, you can get these issues, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not breaking the bank. You know, no. All of them are. You know, I don't think any of them have been standard sized.
Yeah.
At least they haven't felt standard sized. They felt very long.
Yeah.
And they're all $2.99, which is kind of cool. Like, they're a good price, and you get.
Well, they've already put. I'm looking at the series now. Only the latest issue is $2.99. The rest of them are $1.99.
Better.
Yeah, so that's probably what I'll do. I'll wait till they get to $1.99 when I buy them. I'm buying so much now.
wait till they have a Brian K. Vaughan day on.
Yeah, there you go. Because speaking of that, the sale, Comicology sales, segueing into another comic. See how I did that?
That was pretty cool. That.
Yeah, they had a Skull Kickers sale recently, and I got my collection of those all the way up to date. I don't know if anybody's heard of Skull Kickers or not, but it is basically a. If you ever played Dungeons and Dragons, you'll love this comic. It's put out by Image, and I'm looking at the creators.
Skull Kickers?
Yes, Skull Kickers. It is. It's loading. Hold on. It is by Jim Zubkevich and Chris Stevens. It's about these two mercenaries, and they, you know, will do. They would do just about anything for two copper pieces. There's a lot of D&D references in here, and it's just funny. It's hilarious. It's one of those buddy books, and you never know. Like, the first storyline is called 1,000 Opas and a Dead Body. And then, let's see, there's Six Shooter on the Seven Seas is the one right now. The second storyline was called Five Funerals and a Bucket of Blood. Werewolves, man-eating plants, fairies, elves, you know, the whole bit. So it's hilarious. And I don't know if the sale's still going on, but I picked up five or six issues for 99 cents, and the latest issue is out, number 16, for $2.99. And they'll have a storyline every once in a while. They'll have a break, and they'll have a bunch of guest artists and writers come in and do four tavern tales where they're sitting around telling a tale about something that they've done. And but it's pretty funny. You got this little dwarf with his axes, you know, typical dwarf attitude, you know, kind of like Gimli in Lord of the Rings. And you got this big bald, you know, guy, and he has a six shooter, which is odd for a fantasy book. But they explain that probably about what 13th or 14th issue. They explain where that came from. And but anyway, it's a really funny book. I was reading.
The sale ended actually on the 19th, unfortunately.
I think they have like the first volume. You can buy like the first volume for a pretty good price. Yeah, here it is. $7.99 for five issues, which isn't bad, really. Considering I think the regular price is $3 a piece, so. You know, it's pretty good and interesting to check out. And they have a zero issue. I don't know how much it costs. I don't remember. But I got it a while back. And you kind of get the tone of it. But it's just funny.
Another book doing the D&D thing. It's clearly our our geek history is coming back to populate our current comics.
Yeah, and IDW actually is putting out a couple of, you know, official D&D books too, so.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's cool. I mean, DC putting out Demon Knights, IDW putting out the D&D books, this. I mean, I'm sure we could reach in, you know, Knights of the Dinner Table. That one's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Few others, but it's kind of neat to see that cropping up as accepted method of telling stories or setting for stories.
Let's see, and Love and Rockets is new on Comicology now. If you've never read it, any of that. We have also Bongo is on board. If you like your Simpson comics, they just joined up.
Well, it looks like there's a Scott Pilgrim sale going on in Comicology.
Yes, there is, if you're into that thing, kind of thing.
thing.
I've never read any of that, so I can't tell if it's any good or not. But
I liked it.
Well, the first volume is only $4 right now through the sale, so I think it's at least 7 or 8 if you buy it in print.
Jeez.
I'm not sure, but anyway, yeah, you could get the whole series pretty quickly. There's only 6 volumes.
And they're $4 each. My goodness, $24, and you can get all 6 volumes on Comixology.
Volume 1 is 151 pages. Jeez. And they have a 37-page preview for free that you can download, and I just think I will download that just so I can see what all the crap's about.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? What else? What else? What else?
Like I said before, I'm halfway through catching up on Walking Dead. So.
Oh yeah.
I read the compendium, the first one that the thing that you can actually kill someone and make them into a zombie with. it weighs a fucking ton.
I bet, because I know my Invincible compendium does.
I think that's just an amazing, cool way to collect these books. I wish other series would do this as well. I would love to see like Sandman put out in that format.
Yeah, because I mean it's just unlike the hardcovers that they do that has extra stuff and they're oversized, and you know eventually I'm already way in deep with The Walking Dead on it. I mean I'm just pre-ordered the eighth one. Mm-hmm. But if I hadn't been reading it at all, that would be a good way to do it. So you just no frills, just boom, big chunk of comics.
Yeah, it's like the essentials or the showcases from DC and Marvel. Though it's a better paper quality.
Oh yeah,
than those, which makes them so heavy. But yeah, the Invincible one I actually want to get because I read that first hardcover and I really enjoyed it. So I'm thinking, you know, that this is a good way to get caught up is those collections from Kirkman. I mean, he's a fanboy and he knows that people really want to spend, and you know, we don't all care about all the bells and whistles. We just want that. Here's the story. Here's what everyone's been raving about for the past, you know, in Walking Dead for the last 10 years or however long. It's I love that. I'm so glad they're putting out the second compendium in October. I've already pre-ordered it.
That is a cool way to do it for sure.
And I'm hoping that my library gets the Invincible Compendium. Because, well, as much as I enjoyed it, I'm not certain whether I want to own it or not.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's
because I already had the first 5 trades, and then I started buying them monthly. So now, I mean, I've got a good – there's a good chunk of them I already have collected, so we'll see. Yeah, and speaking of Robert Kirkman, I found – been cleaning up. Some of you may know that you know, the domestic situation, and I soon be leaving the house. I was cleaning and found Astonishing Wolfman number 2 that I had knew that I had purchased and haven't been able to find for 2 or 3 years now. I found it yesterday, down deep in the bottom of a box. So now I might actually get to read it.
Oh, the silver lining.
Yeah. So. I have volume. I think I don't know if I actually rebought that one or not, but I have number 1, and it was a pretty good series. It wasn't anywhere. I didn't think it was anywhere near the quality of Walking Dead and the other, but that's one. He eventually I think he only put out two more volumes worth of stories, and he stopped putting that out so he could devote more time to Walking Dead and Invincible, because they were getting pretty late there for a while. So
Walking Dead actually missed. I thought it had. That was one of its mythos things, that it had shipped consistently.
I think.
Wow.
That, well, I don't know if it was Invincible more than the other, but I remember reading some of the letter columns on the Walking Dead, and he made a big deal. I think it was like in 2010 or 2011 about everything being on time. So I think, I'm not sure if it was one specific one that was way late or a couple of his that were just, you know, late. I think Invincible was most, because you look through previews and it's like, you know, all orders, other orders of this were canceled and this is resolicited. I think Invincible is one that's been the latest, but and they were one of the first ones to do the quote unquote day and date on digital. So
yeah, one with Archie, the Archie books as well did that.
Yeah, I think so.
They were the first full blown company to go day and date.
Mm-hmm. So.
Maybe that's why they are the hot company.
Maybe so.
Yes. Archie's everywhere. They're on the newsstands. They're
that's
digital. Right. They are able to get their stuff out there.
Yep. That's one thing I miss is seeing all those on seeing comics on the newsstand. So.
Well, it's like I meant, you know, when we were up in the middle of freaking nowhere, and that little bookstore had the one comic, and it was Batman. It would have been neat if they'd had some Archies. I would have picked up a digest or something like that, because you're right. It's not like I have to go out of my way to look for them, but I don't see them the way I used to when I was a little boy. I could walk into the store and... Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So... We've done an hour's worth. Have we got anything else that are we less rambly than we were last week?
Yes. Yes. We have a focus.
Yes, we are focused, aren't we?
And next week will be a ton of fun. Let's make it fun.
All right. That sounds good. It'll give me an idea what I'm supposed to ask him to.
You don't have to leave. I was joking. Next week, for those who are listening, it will be a kid-friendly episode.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, and before I forget, The Sixth Gun by OmniPress, that's a very good book as well.
Yes, it is. And it's just starting a new storyline with its next issue.
Yeah, I've got several of those issues I need to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I wait till they get... Because they're doing it like DC does. They're probably doing it first. The newest issue is whatever, $2.99, and then the next one is $1.99. I mean, it goes down a dollar, so I need to catch up on that. But that's a good book. Very good.
Have you gone all digital? Is that?
Not yet. No, the comic shop is making it real easy. I think there's a new guy there that's been working. I think he's either a partner or maybe taking over. They changed their subscription thing where you got to prepay like so many months in advance. Like they're having a hard time keeping bags and boards in. And when I went in last Wednesday, not only did they have not any backing boards, but not even a sack for me to put the comics in. So, I mean, you know, and I'm not getting the discount I was. I'm paying full price.
No one should have to pay full price for their comics.
Well, I mean, I don't. If I'm going to, fine, tell me. But it's like different. It depends on who rings me out whether I get it. So I never know how much the comics are going to cost. And if considering, you know, I'm going to have to move here pretty soon, and I got stacks of comics that I need to put away and catalog and. It's just – I'm about real close to just saying, look, you know, I want to support you guys. But – well, that's another thing. There's been times I've gone in and prepaid and said – and given them a piece of paper that says exactly what I wanted and even then still not get it put in my box. You know, so they're just not, you know, I want to support local comic shop and all, but they're not providing the service that a comic shop should, then there's no reason to go there. Because I have to go all the way to the other side of town, which, I mean, that's not a real big deal, but you're talking gas. And so it's actually, you get right down to it, you throw the gas in there, I'm paying more than regular, you know? And I have to get my own bags and boards, you know, 8 times out of 10.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, if my local comic shop wasn't on the way home, I'm not certain whether I would continue to buy.
Yeah.
Physical comics.
So. Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, I live so close to home, it's to work, homework, same thing. You know, and it's like I said, it's on the other end of town. So it's hard for me to, you know, because I like the, you know, but it's like, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, give them a list or I've been filling out previews, forms and everything else. It's like there's always stuff that I get every month that isn't in my box. I have to get off the shelf. And it was like that time with Legion number 10. Well, like it never came out. I'm like, meanwhile, it's been on comic. It was on Comicology the whole time. And I ended up buying it there. And then the next Legion I got was number 11. So, I mean, if they're having a problem with Diamond, that's not my fault. So, I mean, seriously.
No, no. I think it is your fault. I think it's all your fault.
It might be. Was that the phrase I heard the other day? Says I'm very what was the word? I'll think of it later. Oh, I'm very responsible because every time something bad happens, everyone says I'm responsible.
Excellent.
So anyway,
I always that's what I say at work. I go, my buddy Chris, it's his fault.
Yeah. Oh, you probably hadn't even seen the shirts I made. Had made SMS Admin brand of clothing I have on Cafe Press. It's one of the shirt that says SMS Admin on the front, and on the back it says place blame here. So I'm very used to that.
I would like that shirt.
Yeah, I need to make another version of it. But anyway, yeah. So people out there, you know, tell us about, if you're going to a comic shop, tell us about your comic shop experience. Am I wrong to expect the things that I'm expecting? This place.
Yeah, a whole episode.
Yeah, I mean, well, this place has just barely been open a year, and the people that are running it are pretty young. I think they're even still having to work full-time jobs to keep the place open. So, I mean, you know. But this guy got this new guy in there, and he seems like he's in there all the time. I don't know if he's a partner or what. So maybe I should talk to him and say, look, this is what I want if you want my business, and maybe he'll fix it. I don't know. Yeah, it would be a lot easier. I thought that. So anyway, that's my point of view. And I do believe we've covered a good chunk today. So
I think we have. Good for us.
Yes. You guys got anything else?
Nope, nothing.
All right. So, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and tell us what you think about this or any other episode. Give us some feedback, things you'd like to hear. Send us pictures of large moths.
Don't do that.
If you so desire. And anything like that. So, and also on the Facebook page, go search for Tales from the Long Box podcast. You'll find us. We have a good group of, I don't know, a little under 100, but very talkative in there. And there's also the Twitter feed at TFT Long Box. I try to post news links in there frequently, which I know Caleb doesn't look at because, you know, he doesn't like Twitter. So, But anyway, that's about it for this week. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we're-